Hello and welcome to the Jonathan Bell Show. In 2016, I quit my career job to travel around dressed as Superman, trying to find a way to make a living doing what I love. This podcast is an audio documentation journal as to how I plan on making that a reality. Thank you for tuning in. What's going on, folks? On today's episode of the Jonathan Bell Show, I share an interview with FTO Nerd Talks. FTO reached out in the height of the pandemic in June, July-ish to do an interview podcast with me, and of course I said yes. Here is an insight of what I was pretty much going through June, July during 2020, how I was able to still keep making content, what I was doing when I was not working due to the pandemic, and so on and so forth. Pretty insightful episode into how I was in my mindset during this time. Take a listen, enjoy the episode, and thank you.
All right, how's it going, everybody? This is D with FTO Nerd Talk. We got a special guest today. Jonathan Bell, the Superman himself, is joining me today. How's it going, John?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on your show.
You have a show also, right? You have a podcast, the Jonathan Bell Show, right?
Yeah, I haven't had an episode on that. I mean, like, I guess I could take the audio from this after you post it and put this as an episode on there. That's another bird with a stone for that matter.
I wonder, like, your last one wasn't that long ago. I think it was in July, was your last episode, right?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, I don't even remember.
And like the things you talk about is mostly like inspirational type things, like breakthroughs that you've had, like moments inside your life that you've been going through, and like try to give people that sense of goodness or sense of calm that a lot of us are usually looking for. That's what your podcast, that's what your YouTube is pretty much about too, right?
Yeah, it's. I do have that stuff on there. I mean, the Jonathan Bell Show. Yeah, I have interviews with other people, interviews about myself, and basically, I started it as a way to kind of like journal my whole Superman story. But lately, because of the pandemic and everything going on, I just don't really have that much to say because, you know, it's just doing the same kind of thing, trying to do the Superman stuff without any changes because I can't really go anywhere.
But how would you think Superman would handle a pandemic right now? Like, he couldn't figure out a cure super fast, and Lex may take a while to figure one out himself. So would he be at home just chilling with John and hanging out with Lois? Would it be the same thing that you're doing, picking out thrift stores and Goodwills and things like that? Would that be like the major thing that Superman would probably be doing right now?
He'd probably have a lot less crime to report to if people were like, you know, stuck. But yeah, he'd probably be enjoying time with Lois and the family. I would like to believe that.
I saw maybe like a month or so ago, like you were very heavily documenting this, your war with the squirrels.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, John has his feeder inside of his yard, and squirrels kept hijacking the feeder, eating the food inside of it, scaring the birds away. So he had to keep coming up with plans to pretty much get the squirrels away from it. And you finally figured out by putting grease at the bottom of the pole and flipping a pan upside down. You think you won that battle with the squirrel so far?
I don't know. I mean, like, I honestly don't, because like people told me to grease a pole in the beginning and I was like, nah, there is no, like, I'm not going to resort to that. I'll try every other method I could, you know, first. And obviously none of them worked. Like, it even got to the point where a squirrel got on the roof of the little sunroof that I'm in from a tree, probably looked and saw how far away it was to jump and decided not to. But yeah, in the end, I just had to get a squirrel baffle, which apparently I didn't look at the box enough because I put it on the wrong way. So not only did I have it the wrong way, I had to turn it the other way and then put grease on it. But just yesterday, a squirrel got like halfway up the pole because I have to grease it like every other day or so it doesn't, you know, warm up and lose its stick. So
I saw that and I was thinking to myself, like, that grease is gonna wear off after a while. He's gonna have to put some more grease on top of that thing. Yeah,
yeah. It was I don't know. I just like squirrel. Like I don't like rodents. So just looking at them just makes me like, you know, like, ugh, go away. And but you know, there are a lot of blue jays and birds around here that are pretty. So if I have to try my best to get them out of my, and now I just sound like a crotchety old man, get them out of my yard.
Are you shaking your fist right now, man? Oh, no, I get it. Just like Grandpa Simpson. No, I get it. I listened to like a few podcasts you were on in the past, and you talked about like some of your favorite Green Lantern superheroes, like besides the fact that Superman's your ongoing favorite, but you talked about some of your Green Lantern favorites too. And you said it's Hal Jordan and Kal Rayner, because Kal has that artistic feel to him, and Hal has that leadership quality to him. Is there any other Green Lanterns besides those two, like you found like a kinship with? We had like so many.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I've never really been a fan of the military, so that's one of the big reasons why, like, you know, John Stewart wasn't one, because he, you know, they had his character, like, you know, wasn't he in the army or the military or something like that?
Yeah.
So like, I've never been able to relate with that, because I just was like, I, you know, that's just something I never really
ditto.
Yeah, so it's just like I can't really relate. But with Hal Jordan, his character, it's like, you know, like, since he wasn't the first one, obviously, but
I mean, he's Air Force too, though. But I think I get kind of like, he kind of like, you know, a showboating bachelor kind of guy.
Yeah, but his whole like story, like, he just has more of a like character development story that was told, quote unquote, kind of in a way where it's more relatable to most people without having to be the Air Force. The whole thing with him is just like, like throughout his whole arcs and stuff, he's been a hero. He's been a villain. He's, you know, like,
come back.
He's had to like really learn how to use willpower and like be a good version of like a Green Lantern person. I mean, of the Green Lantern Corps. He had to like overcome a lot of fear and do a lot of things to use willpower, which is what I like. And then you get like John Stewart. It's like, oh, he was in the Marines, or he was like, you know, in the army, and now he likes architecture. Like, you didn't really see a lot of like his character development and stuff. You know what I mean?
I mean, you kind of did like in the Justice League TV show, but it wasn't really that much. I hear you.
Yeah, it was just like, this is who he is, the end. And then like, he, you know, he's going to be a badass. And then like Kyle Rayner, you know, he's just, because he is an artist and he uses like a lot of his constructs, you know, in an artistic way, is pretty cool to me also. And but also like, even like in the Blackest Night and Brightest Day storyline, he's like a really troubled, like a troubled artist, like where a lot of people are, you know. Art could be pretty heavy on the mind sometimes, and you know, he's got storylines like that where he just doesn't, you know, because he's an artist. So that's, well,
not to mention something. Major Forrest cut up his girlfriend and shoved her in the refrigerator. That would do something to you. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also like Guy Gardner too a lot.
Really? Guy, of all people.
Because he's just like, I really liked his New 52 run when he was with the Red Lanterns.
Red Lanterns?
Yeah.
He was very much a leader of that group. And like, he kind of got over himself a lot being a part of that group too. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a really well done storyline.
I agree with you. Like, and then you add a Supergirl to the mix. He had to keep her like control over like of her anger also the entire time. And I think that's what the whole Guy Gardner Red Lantern story was about, was him keeping his anger in check, because he kind of had to.
Yeah, I think when the New 52 came out, like I was reading like Superman and Action Comics. Batman had some good ones, but I was really like, you know, they had Sinestro go back to the Green Lantern for a little bit, but the one that I really, really, really thought was well done the best was Guy's run with the Red Lantern.
That was your major so go-to, different. Huh?
Yeah, that was pretty good to me. I liked it.
I want to talk about your stint, but it's, you only have three articles here, but with Comic Book Debate. You wrote a few articles there: Determination versus Motivation, An Ideal of Hope, and The Mistake of Viewing Kindness and Weakness.
Yep.
And I read these, and like, they're very powerful stuff. What brought you to write these articles?
Well, I wrote here's one thing I'm proud of. So I wrote the Hope article before I joined up with Comic Book Debate. I just let them use it.
Okay.
But that was like one of the first things that I wanted to do in the Superman suit. was write that article to explain like what hope means to me. And now, like, if you type in hope essay or anything in Google, like, my article is literally one of the first things that comes up. So that's I'm just cool. Like, yeah, I'm really proud about that. If, like, no matter how you keep phrase it, if anybody's listening to this right now, if you type in, like, essay on hope or hope essay or what does hope mean or something like that, mine's going to pop up first. So I'm really proud of that. But what made me write that was just basically because I love Superman that much and, like, how what hope is. And I think a lot of people just get kind of confused with what hope is. And, you know, there's obviously different understandings of it. But one of the main reasons why I wrote that is because I have an understanding of having hope as an action, as opposed to just like this, like warm and fuzzy, wishy feeling.
Word kind of thing people say to others. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
Yeah. I mean, like for me, having hope in something is literally like making yourself, I mean, like I could hope to be Superman. I could hope to like, you know, try to make a living doing this somehow. And I could hope to do this and that, but my hope is being followed up with like, you know, traveling around everywhere, doing all these photos by myself, having different podcasts, being on podcasts, writing essays, doing this. So all these things that I say, like, I hope I could make a living for this in the future. All that's being backed up by my actions that I'm doing.
By the ability to do, pretty much.
Right.
I get that completely. And speaking of Superman, you have like a whole love. Like, of course, everyone knows this, but you have like a love for the L family in general. Like, you do a lot of Superman stuff. You do like a lot of Superman flying, a lot of deconstructs and humorous things with Superman, like having his head blown up, pouring like a green toxic waste on top of him, having like him being affected by the Thanos snap. Like, you also do stuff with Superboy as well. Like, you make him more like cyberpunk. You make him more, I guess like a little bit more less serious, but still kind of stoic at the same time. Is this version of Superboy much like your Superman? Like, is this like a Jonathan Bell's version of Superboy, or are you trying to capture the comic book essence also?
It's my version of it. So the whole reason why that came about was because of listening to a bunch of like synthwave and like liking the aesthetics of like vaporwave and cyberpunk.
Okay.
And at the time, so like this would have been my second cosplay after the Man of Steel.
Oh wow.
And I was thinking, like, you know, I put on Spotify one day and then I heard like the song Vampires by the Midnight, and it stuck with me so much. I literally, that became like my most, on my like Spotify year in, that was the highest song I played. I must have played that like into the tens of dozens of thousands of times over the course of that year, because I just loved it so much. And I was like, I really want to make some like cyberpunk aesthetic art with it, and I want to keep it Superman, but I don't think it'll fit with the Man of Steel. Like, I tried some stuff before, but I just didn't feel right. So I was trying to think of what I could do, and was like, oh, I forgot, like, the whole 90s theme Superboy, all of his stuff, it looks retro also, works with the leather jacket and the glasses. So I was like, I don't really want to have the same glasses as him, and I want to try to make it more futuristic retro. And that's why I chose the sunglasses that I have instead of the circular ones.
It's more like a Jordy LaForge visor, but very Tron-esque.
Then I used a power glove to put with that too, just for like different things. So
cool.
And then, so that whole thing just came out about of me hearing a song and then figuring out how I can make an aesthetic around Superman somehow, but you know, not the Man of Steel one.
Is that how inspiration comes to you? Does it come to you like just like that? Like a snap of a song and like boom, you got a new idea to create some art? Because I see your Instagram is filled with like a wide range of different types of arts and concepts and like just ideas all over the place. Like, does it all just come to you just like from one small inspirational 3-minute or 4-minute thing?
Yes, for the most part. But seriously, I would say like seriously about like 95 or like 80 plus percent comes from music. I love listening to music. I love listening to new music. And so like I like interpreting how like a lyric hits me or how something makes me feel. whether it be like a show, an emotion, something that, I read about or a movie. But a lot of the times, because I drive around so much or I'm like editing photos and stuff, I'll listen to music in the background. And then like something will hit me where I just like get an idea, or like, how would I interpret this? Or how would I make this into like either a picture to interpret like how I feel about this, you know? So a lot of times it is, it's like I'll hear a new song or I'll try to interpret an older song and then just go from there. That's why like a lot of things that you'll see is say like, oh, music, this is from like
with the music. Gotcha.
Yeah. And that's because it's like the song that inspired whatever that is.
Well, that's poetic when you put it like that, man. Like, okay. Very much so. Wow. There's a lot of pictures of you from the past wearing Superman costume. I saw one from Omaha back in 2012.
Right.
Is that what started the whole Superman train for you? Was it that, or was it something else?
I mean, like that's what started the levitation stuff. So
okay.
In 2010, I got my first camera. And then in 2012, for Christmas of 2011, I got that cape. And I got that cape and I had that sweatshirt. And so in 2012 was when I first started practicing levitation shots. And I was like, I have the Superman cape now. And I, you know, that was before, I think that was right before we even knew that Man of Steel came out, because that came out in 2013.
Right.
So like in 2011, I don't even remember when they first started like leaking images of it, but like as soon as that came out, that's when I decided that I want to try to find like a Man of Steel cosplay. But until then, all I had was, you know, a cape and stuff. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to practice all my levitation stuff now, because I just had a camera. So yeah. So for anybody, and it's funny because people would tell me like, oh, you make it seem so easy. And I'm like, yeah, it'll seem so easy because I've been doing it for 8 years.
I get that. I know that like the experience comes with time, everybody. Oh, yeah. You do have the Man of Steel costume, but you don't too often wear like the traditional red trunks Superman costume. Is there a reason why that is?
Yes, because I don't really like it.
Ah, ooh.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, I it's not that I don't like it. It's just like, you know, like when I started this whole like Seattle Superman thing,
all right,
when I wanted to quit my job and move to Seattle, the only reason why I wanted to do that was because I knew if I had the Man of Steel suit, because it looks like, and you've seen this in photography that I do, I was like, there is no way I could make it look how I want it to in a Christopher Reeve suit, right, in my opinion, or in some Party City looking Man of Steel suit, you know? So I was like, so that's when I was like, I really need to try to find somebody that made the Man of Steel suit. And I found somebody, and that's why like my photos have some sense of more of a realism to them,
right,
because of the environment and the suit I'm wearing. If I was in the environment with, you know, red trunks and a Christopher Reeve type suit, it would look completely different.
It would look uncomfortable, like in a way. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I knew what I had a vision in mind what I wanted to do. And that's why I'm just always sticking with that Man of Steel. I don't think I would. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take for me to have to wear the red trunks.
Well, I'm not going to push it on you. Like, I do love the trunks. I'm a big fan of the trunks. I grew up with it, but like, I get why you don't use it. Like, I'm looking at your pictures and I see, like, you know what? If red trunks were on all these photographs, it wouldn't, like, I don't know you personally, but like, I feel like, you know, if the trunks were there, it wouldn't have the same feel to it.
Yeah, it totally wouldn't. Yeah. It totally wouldn't. You're right. So that's why I just don't do it.
Makes sense. I get it. Like, and the good conversation for that, like, is you doing the Superboy costume, like, you doing that in a traditional Superboy setting. So, like, you know, if fans do get upset about it, just say that. There you go. Yeah. big time nerd, man. Just like, just what it is. There's this one thing, and like, you've seen me gush over this quite a few times. The time traveling man, like the guy who jumps through time with the portals and everything else. And like, I don't want you to give me too much, because honestly, I know like you're doing something, and I don't know if you know what it is, because I have no idea what it is. I'm not sure if you have some kind of end game going on with it. Like, I see, like the Vogue thing that you made, and it says Rogue on it. And, like, out of all the things you've done, you don't like the whole, like, the cigarettes and bottles while you're, like, in Whitewater. You don't like the, like, all the different cyberpunk type thing. You don't like the Green Lanterns. You done the, like, the Vampire Teeth. You've done, like, a lot of different stuff with your work, including, like, the Doctor Strange and, like, the Superman blending in with Doctor Strange. And this is, like, one of my favorite pieces of yours.
Oh, well, thank you.
And, like, it's really good. It breaks some barriers. It makes me think outside the box. It's showing me stuff that, like, what it could be. But I know, like, this is like, some... It has to be heavy duty for you. It has to be something very intense for you. Because, like, what you do with it, you keep it all together, but it's very different every time you do it. And I just got to know, like, what can you tell me about it without, like telling me too much about the future plans of this?
This is... So, yeah. So, like, this whole thing is, like, the title of it's, like, you know, Tomorrow was such a long time ago. And I literally got that idea about 3 years ago for that title. It's, like, I like how that is. And I've always been into, like, time traveling and, like, you know, I like alchemy and, like, wizard stuff too. But
I saw some of your articles, yeah.
Yeah, but this also, like, has a feel of, like, you know, like a height, like cyber, like tech wear, stuff like that too. So I really, this is actually a goal for this month, but my goal for this month is actually put into words, like a synopsis for this.
No way.
Like, yeah. Because, like, I'm literally like, oh, I have all these ideas that I want to get out. So I'll make these 15 second videos of, like, you know, images in my head. But then when I tried to, like, I'm like, if this was an actual TV show or a movie, what would the actually plot of it be? So I have to, like, you know, take the time to figure out exactly where this would go. If I wanted to, like, you know, make little, like, not even long enough for webisodes, but if I wanted to make, like little, I guess it would be webisodes. If I wanted to, like, try to record stuff here and there, to progress through, like, different times and eras of, like, a wizard, you know, time traveling to all different parts of his, like, how he was throughout the different centuries and everything, right, to get to something like, yeah. See, even now I'm, like, trying to explain it and I can't, because that's a goal of mine, is to figure out how to put it in words this month.
Just put it all into words. I just hope he doesn't get caught in the Mobius strip. That would be the worst. Put him in a Mobius strip. I would be heartbroken if that happened, because I feel like you got something going with this. Whether you know it or not, I think you got something going with this. It's so cool.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm gonna switch up a little bit and talk about, like, some nerdy stuff. Like, stop talking about, like, your past and your art. You know, like, it's fantastic. Wonder Woman 1984. It's Kristen Wiig is going to be Cheetah. You got Pedro Pascal, who's going to be Maxwell Lord. Are you excited for this film to come out?
I am. I really liked Wonder Woman, but, you know, I don't know. I only watched it once. So I know I was so disappointed in BVS and Justice League. I don't know if I really like Wonder Woman or if I just liked it because the other one sucked.
I'm in the same boat as you, man. Like, I got 4 Batman tattoos, and I did not like the Justice League, not too much. It was okay. I didn't like Batman versus Superman. I thought the character was just dumb. I like Man of Steel until he kills someone. It's just, yeah, I hear you. Did you like Man of Steel, by the way?
I did.
You did. Even like the killing that Superman did. Like, that was still okay with you.
Well, I mean, like, I didn't like it. I didn't dislike it. It was just like, okay, that happened. Well.
I get that completely.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, like, it's still hard to believe that even 7 years from now, like, you go on a Twitter at any given moment and people are still arguing about that movie. And I'm just like, but then at the same time, you know, when Spider-Man came out in 2001 or 2002 and people are still talking about that or who's the best Spider-Man, I'm like, damn, give it a rest, people.
Those nerds, they just go crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, I obviously like all that retro stuff. And so I think 84 is going to be pretty cool. You know, I still don't know how they're going to do Cheetah. Like, I hope it looks good and not like Cats.
And they're actually forbidding her for take pictures with the costume on, which is what I was going to say to you. Like, this new article came out saying, like, Warner Brothers have forbidden Kristen Wiig to take a photograph while wearing the costume, because I think what you just said could be part of the reason why. It could look hokey, or it could be cooler than we think it is.
Yeah, I'm just kind of worried, though.
Yeah, me too. Like, big time. Because, like, she's like a good antagonist. Like, she's, like, a really good antagonist, and I really don't want that costume to look cheesy. I just can't have it. It would hurt me.
Yeah, if it's, like, Cats, where it's, like, her face in, like, a cheetah thing, you know, I wouldn't know how I would feel about that either.
I wouldn't be happy. That's for damn sure. I would not be happy. And one more news topic for you. This is also going to be DC comic books related. Crap, I had it in front of me. Now it's gone. It was going to be talking about the DC Universe's show, like Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched that entire season? Like, I think the last episode is next week, but have you caught yourself up before that last season comes out?
No, I haven't watched not one. You know what? I haven't watched it, not one. I just don't like, I don't know, man. The whole cyborg thing, and this is like one little thing in me, but like, the marketing just turned me off with it so much.
I get you on that. And it took a lot for me to push myself in there to just watch it. And the show is honestly, ignore the marketing, like the full on, is more about mental health and like in dealing with your mental health and like being a team and a family in spite of having like all these kind of hangups about your past and like the things that you did and your mistakes. And it's trying to like look past those things and still do great things on top of it. It's very coming of age, but also like keeping like your sanity in check at the same time. That's what this show is really about. Like, honestly, balls to bone. That's what it fully like try to convey in these stories. It's worth to watch. Maybe not. All right.
I mean, like, yeah, I should probably watch the pilot. You're right. I don't know. Like, Cyborg's doesn't even, like, that looks like a mask on him. It doesn't even look like it's part of him being.
It's very cheesy. I'm not going to give you that. Like, but, like, honestly, it sees the cheese and it goes with it. Like, it knows it's cheesy.
It's like all this money that DC has, and they can't make it look like he's a real cyborg. Like, I think the CW stuff had done a better job than that.
The effects are cool.
I'm like, how do you expect me to believe this? And it like looks like he just has a Phantom of the Opera mask on his face that's painted to look like a robot.
And I gotta tell you, it doesn't get any better as the season go on, costume wise. Just to throw it out there to you.
See, now you're just giving me more reasons not to watch it.
I think I am. I feel it too. Like, what am I doing? All right, well, like that's all the questions I have for you, man. But like, I did have one more question for you. You've done a lot of podcasts, as I've seen. You got like a lot of people talking to you in interviews. You've done TV spots. You've done a lot of different things, and people have asked you a lot of different questions about Superman and hope and like your religion and things like that. But what one question would you want someone to ask you on a podcast or an interview?
You know, I've never had that question asked me before, so there you go. All right. But no, generally, I don't actually really like talking about myself, if you believe it or not.
No, I can't. I can see it. No offense. But I can see it. Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. So it's like, you know, like I do these because, like, you know, I want to be able to, like, you know, I feel appreciative that you would even want to talk to me on my show. But, you know, like I've always kind of been, I could be introverted when I want and extroverted also, but also like, there's just a lot about me that I think is boring, or like, I just don't really care to talk about that much, or like, but besides that, I have a hard time talking myself up too, because like, I know how I am. I know I might like seem cool or stuff sometimes to some different people, but to me, I'm just like, it's just me, you know?
And being on is just so much sometimes, believe me, I get it.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Oh, yeah. For being a person of color, it's kind of expected upon you. So, yeah, no, I get it. Make us laugh. Do a dance for me. No, I completely get it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so sometimes it's just like, you know, and I was, I don't know how much time you have on your show.
No, but please go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, because I haven't really talked about this at all, but But yeah, it's like I went through some times during, like, you know, June, where I literally just had to put my phone on silent, put it out of the room, because I was just so sick and tired of everybody like asking me how I'm doing. And, oh, did, you know, we met once before and have I ever, you know, and I'm just like, dude, June was, it was, and I've never said this out loud before because I just, you know, didn't want anybody to like, oh, this guy is like,
he's a piece of jacket. I can't believe he said this to me. Yeah.
Yeah. But honestly, it's like, man, like, I don't know how many flipping times we've had to say something. And now like the whole world wants to ask us a question all the time. And it's like, it's a lot, you know?
Yeah. It's a lot to take in. No, I get you, dude. Like what you're saying right now is the reason why I avoided conventions for so long. It's because of that very reason. Because if I put myself out there, I got to keep on putting myself out there. And then people start expecting things from you. And I don't know what you want, man. I only got so much to give. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. No, and like, oh, Jonathan, you used to be, because I used to be, I went through like LAPD. So I was a policeman for like,
oh, wow.
not even a whole year. Back when I was 21. So that was like my first like career job. But no, so then I'm just like, oh, what do you think about all this? And like all the riots and the BLM and da 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 da. And are you going out to protest? And what do you think? And, you know, then you're going on Instagram and Facebook and seeing every single flipping person that could have had any opportunity to share black people stuff before and never did. And now they want to just like do all this shit. And
the trend is possible.
And looking at like, yeah. And then looking at the same post a million times a day, yeah. Because now everybody wants to do the same thing. And like, you know, literally having people call and ask me if I've ever like got this weird vibe from them, because now they want to know like if they've ever been like a slightly bit racist or some shit. So that was like pretty much my June.
Wow.
And I was just like, you know, I really don't. I was just like, I don't want to.
Was it really like a flood like that? Like a flood of people just like hitting you up, your phone dinging like crazy? That happened to you like that?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Good God, dude, I'm sorry that happened to you, first off. Like, I was having a conversation with my wife just a few weeks ago about that. Like, people hitting me up and talking to me. Like, I wonder if people who pissed me off in the past are asking themselves if they pissed me off in the past. But you actually got it.
Jeez. Yeah. So I've had people do that. And then, like, you know, they're just like, oh, what do you – just like, yeah, like, oh, some – like, you know, what do you think about all the police stuff? You used to be a policeman. And just like – because, you know, like, it's – they besides the internet and the Superman thing,
right.
Just like the people that I've met in real life that, like, you know, I haven't talked to in a long time, then all of a sudden, like, or like people on Twitter that I don't even know, like, sending me a flipping DM saying like, oh, I'm on your side and da 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 da, and I'm just
what
like,
the
okay.
Fuck does that mean?
You know,
like,
so
how do you respond to something like that?
Yeah,
man?
So it's just like, you know, like, and then like hearing all these stories, like, I try to promote people in my stories as much
ditto,
as I can,
yeah. You know?
And sometimes I just think, like maybe I'm oversharing stuff, or I don't want to see it make my page seem like it's all, like, you know, one way
one
and one-sided,
thing.
You know? Yep. But then, like, I'm reading all these stories in June about all these people, like, oh, I didn't have any idea there were so many black X amount of things, like, shut oh, up. Black gardeners, or black, you know, this, and this. It's like, because I never see it come up in Instagram and dead. And so then I'm just like, okay, well, now I feel like I should be sharing more stuff. But also I'm just like, you could fucking type shit in if you want. I don't know.
Just type it in. That's know? What Google is for. Like,
so
you
it's just like,
you need to.
It's like, it. Yeah, it's really had me think about, like, you know, people just, and then like people are getting like all mad and this and that about, you know, there's just like people are protesting and taking up my,
yeah.
You know, like, oh, they're ruining my life and da 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 da. And why can't people? And I'm just like, you know, until you've ever like really, you know, and then like having people just totally not, they just don't understand, or they just will never understand stuff. And it's like people want, and then, like, all these people just want to ask my opinion on stuff all of a sudden when, like, you know, I've been black my whole life, but
now you want to ask me?
Yeah, now you want to know how I've had experiences or how things have been. But
do you,
you
think
know.
They care when they ask you that question? Does it feel like they care, like, about the answers that you give them when they ask you that question?
No, I think they just want to make themselves feel good. Like
Ditto. Yeah. Ditto, my friend. I get that quite often. Not as much as like you saying you get it, but it comes ever so often. If people want to have a talk with me about like, you know, like the Black experience and things like that, that's kind of none of your business, to be honest with you. Yeah. Don't ask Black people stuff like that. And if you're a white person and saying like a brother to a Black dude, like just let you know they don't really care for that. Just let you know they don't like to hear stuff like that. So just keep it to yourself.
Right. But also at the same time, like, you know, you could tell by somebody's, you could tell intentions with people for the most part.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes.
You know, it's, yeah, it, for the, like, sometimes for the most part, like you could tell somebody like really, you know, if they're like, if it's weighing on them and they just kind of want to know, or like that they're just like naive in their own way, which sometimes people just can be, no matter how old they are. That's one thing. But then on another thing is to just like, you know, it's convenient when it's convenient to want to know or do stuff now, as opposed to like,
because things are changing and like people like are saying everything that you said is wrong, and you think, like, am I wrong about this? Why not talk to an expert about this? Maybe that guy who dresses up as Superman.
Yeah, like, I mean, all these flipping companies now, like, why is it now all these companies want to put, you know, Black photographers or Black models or like change all this stuff? Is like, why does it? I'm glad that people are actually like
ditto
doing stuff, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want it to be a fad. And you see all these people getting mad, like, what about all the white people? What are they going to do now? And it's like, well, welcome to what the fuck we've been doing this whole time. You know, like, Jesus Christ, we're not going to have any more jobs for white people. Well, boo who, you know?
No, I get it. I get it all too well. Oh my God. Yeah.
It's like you're just, in my like, head, dude. It's like, are you kidding me? Seriously. It's like people really get, and it's just like, and it's like, how do people that see all these comments and stuff not realize that this is how it's been for this long? And like, nobody wants to admit it to themselves, you know, but like, you have to be really, really just don't want to believe stuff. If you could literally go on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere and read these comments and think like, oh yeah, it doesn't make any sense now. Like, why are they doing that? They're just trying to be like pro this, and they're just want to be with the movement, and they don't really care. They're just trying to get customers and stuff. I'm like, well, yeah, that's every corporation ever. They always done stuff to try to get customers.
Yeah. And like, and you still hear people saying like what they really want. They want the police to be defunded. They want like people who killed Breonna Taylor or Elijah McClain. They want them like put away in jail. That's what they really want. And like, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. I want it to. But people who also, the people you're talking about who's asking these questions, they know this too, but they don't really seem to care, it seems, unless it happens to them.
Yeah, and then like you heard about the riots that happened this morning in Chicago, right?
Yeah, the looting, yeah.
I mean looting, yeah, not riots.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, and it was like, all these rich people, and that's like the richest part of Chicago, and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, you guys.
Exactly. my big thing was what Lori Lightfoot said in retaliation to that, because the reason why that happened is because a cop shot an innocent bystander again because he thought that person was someone else who they got a description wrong for.
Yeah, and I had to go searching for that because that was nowhere to be found on Twitter at first. It was like all they did was post about looting. They didn't say not one shit in the morning when I woke up at like 7 a.m. There was nothing. And then in the afternoon, they finally changed it to looting after an officer involved shooting. Yep. And that was it. Like, they didn't say shit about anything because they're trying not to, they're trying not to spark something nationwide, you know, obviously, but still, it's the still one sided, you know?
Like, well, if you don't know, Lightfoot said that she doesn't care. And she said it twice. Like, I don't care. I don't care why you're doing this. Like, just know that we're coming for you, is what she said. And she's pretty much saying that she doesn't care why this person was shot by the cops, that she's going to get come for you because you're looting these stores. So, like, I was kind of trying to be on the team Lori Lightfoot, but after hearing some stuff like that, it kind of put me in a sour taste. So, like, the stores matter more than the people, it's starting to seem from these politicians also.
Yeah, you could clearly tell where people care more. I mean, like, you know, if it doesn't happen to them, and it's sad, like, but it's not really sad because we know what it's like to be like
every single day.
And be like, oh, I can't believe people are just so selfish and they don't want to wear a mask. And regardless of what you think about a mask, it's like, we all know that, I mean, like, regardless if you want to believe it or not, virus or not.
Yeah.
To either what, A, ease somebody else's peace of mind, and B, like, maybe you don't know and you have it, and C, like, even, like, have you ever worked anywhere where people are actually sick?
I mean, yeah.
Before the virus, and they're just coughing everywhere, and you're like, could you just cover it? Like, people can't even cover their mouths because they don't care, you know? So it's like, now everybody's just so shocked that, like, oh, the whole world is selfish and people are selfish. And I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, you guys obviously don't really know how that is on the other side of things.
No, they don't. And then people had audacity to ask us questions about our Black experience. And then like, then they ignore the answers that we give them. And then they want us to be happy for no reason. No, I completely get what you're saying.
Yeah.
100%. But I'll let you stop going on a tirade before people start blowing up your DMs in the next coming days.
Yeah, because you can tell, like, I was like, I clearly haven't talked to anybody about this.
No, you have like, not.
and it's just all coming out on your show.
Yeah. This has been a great show, John. This has been a great, great guest. This is the first time I let people actually just let out their feelings about, like, political climate right now. I don't usually bring it up to them because I feel like, you know, they talk about it enough with other people, but apparently you are not doing that right now, my friend.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because I got to have you on a show a different time and talk more about this. All right, this is D with FU Nerd Talk. John, thanks for being on, man.